You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hi, this is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to our podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. I'm glad you're with us. Tell your friends about us. Well, we're going to have a pop quiz. I'm just going to ask you one question right off the top. What do Jesus Christ and Karl Marx, the founder of communism, have in common? The answer, absolutely nothing, as the song goes. Well, let me tell you why I would even ask such a silly question. And to begin, I want to retell a story I've told you before about something that happened at a press conference I was at with Jerry Falwell. It was more years ago than I would care to remember. But of course, you remember Jerry Falwell. He was really big on Christian citizenship. It was one of the reasons he often worked with Dr. Dobson, and I did various things with him, particularly when I was at the Family Research Council as the president there. Jerry Falwell and I traveled around the country. We did some of the same events. And I remember distinctly one day we were doing a press conference. Of course, with it being a press conference, we had a hostile audience, the typical reporters that twist so many things and have continued to do that over the years. So Falwell and I don't remember the exact question or the exact occasion for this press conference, but we made our little statements and then we opened it up for the media to ask questions. And Falwell called on a reporter. It wasn't the reporter I would have picked because the guy looked so anxious to be able to ask the question. And we found out immediately why he looked so excited about being able to ask a question. He said to Falwell, there was an election coming up in just a week or so. He said, Pastor Falwell, if Jesus returns before the election, will he vote Republican or Democrat? Now, I could use a few adjectives to describe that question, none of which would be suitable for a broadcast, a podcast at the James Dobson Family Institute. It was a smart alecky question. This was an effort by the reporter to catch Jerry Falwell in an embarrassment or a trap or to make him look silly or stupid or whatever. I mean, if Falwell would have said, well, of course, Jesus would vote Republican, oh, man, they would have had a field day with that. So for just the split second there, I was thinking, well, how would I handle it? And before I could even answer that question, Falwell answered. And his answer was, well, that's a silly question. If Jesus returns before Election Day, the election will be canceled because Jesus is the King of Kings. All knees will bend, all heads will bow as Christ sets up the perfect kingdom, the perfect government on earth. Wow, that was some answer. It made me think that maybe Jerry had been asked this question before, but it was the reporter that ended up looking like a goofball. Even the other reporters thought that, hey, that was pretty darn good. Well, the reason I bring that up is that, of course, Jesus isn't a Republican, and he's not a Democrat, and he's not an independent. He's Jesus. But there are some progressives today, both in and outside of the church, some of them inside the church, who are aggressively arguing that Jesus was actually a socialist. Now, I hope for most of you, that strikes you as a really bizarre thing to hear and know immediately that it's ridiculous. But look, in the times we live in, maybe some people listening are confused about this. The hook here is a very smart thing that the socialists are doing. They're talking about Christ's ministry. I mean, as Christians, we're taught to show kindness, to have a generous spirit, to take care of the widow and the orphan, the left-wing activists are saying, hey, well, that's the socialist agenda. So Christianity and socialism are really brothers. We're joined together, and Christians and everybody out there that feels like they've got a big heart and want to help people, they ought to be voting for socialists too. But if you know the Bible, and I trust that you do, you can read the Bible 50 times. You will not find one parable by Jesus Christ, one story by Jesus, nothing said by any of his disciples that argues that the poor need to be helped by big government taking the money of some people that have earned it, using the money to pay a massive government bureaucracy, and give what's left of the money and a few crumbs to the poor. Jesus does not preach that. The disciples did not promote that. That is nowhere to be seen in the scripture. All of the urgings in the Bible and in Christ's teachings about helping the poor, helping the sick, visit those that are in prison, help the widow, help the orphan, all that is aimed at us as individual Christians. We are supposed to do that, not some faceless bureaucrat in Washington, D.C., and it's not even his money he's giving out. He's giving out somebody else's money. So the whole thing is based on a falsehood, but the falsehood is much deeper than the fact that Christ's gospel is not a gospel of socialism. Now, before I go any further, you might wonder, you know, really, is this important enough that it has to be addressed? I mean, you know, I agree with everything you just said. Surely people know this, right? Well, no, they don't. There was a poll this year, really disturbing poll, that showed particularly among young Americans, both Christian and secular young Americans, there's growing support for socialism. The survey taken in March of 2,000 Americans under the age of 30 found that 62% of young American adults have favorable views of socialism. So this poll was about economic policy. It asked a number of questions. I find that astonishing. Now, I think the number was much lower among self-identifying young Christians, but it was still a lot higher than it should be. And if you don't think that's bad, try this on for size. The same poll showed that 34% of Americans between the ages of 18 and 29, that's about a third, had favorable views of, wait for it, communism. Now, look, some people on the left say, oh, socialism has nothing to do with communism. They're linked. The roots are the same. But communism, by its nature, is much worse. Socialism often leads to communism. So to have nearly two-thirds of young Americans liking socialism and a third of Americans liking communism, that's I would say frightening. It's dangerous. It means bad things down the road. Now, the only silver lining I can find in this poll is that the pollster does not define socialism. The pollster just says, do you have a favorable view or an unfavorable view of socialism? It was left to the person being polled to, in their own minds, define what they think socialism is. And I'm pretty sure these young people, in spite of what they may think, really don't know what socialism actually is, the history of it, the philosophy of it, what the motivation of those that are socialists and Marxists believe. Quite frankly, I just think they're clueless. There's no way they could know the history and be in favor of it. But they are in favor of it because we're seeing all over the country. We're seeing it in New York right now. There's a guy running for mayor of New York. To some people, he came out of nowhere. But he's an open socialist. He calls himself a socialist. He's very bold about it. He promotes socialist ideas, and he's the hands-down favorite to become the next mayor of New York. There's a guy running for mayor of Minneapolis, another major U.S. city. He's a Islamic socialist. Don't even get me started. I mean, these are not things you would have seen in America even 20 years ago, let alone 50 years ago or 100 years ago. So I do believe that part of this, particularly the young support for socialist candidates, is that they haven't been taught history. And these socialist candidates have a real siren song of a message. You see, the research is showing, and this is tragic, that a lot of young Americans are finding it, particularly if they live in urban areas, they're finding it almost impossible to have the American dream. You know, every generation of Americans for years, our children have had better lives than we have had on balance. And so each generation on balance could be expected to live better lives, to have more opportunities, to be able to access more things than the previous generation did. This generation's having a hard time. And you've seen the stories, you know, people in their late 20s still living at home with mom and dad. You can laugh at that, but in many cases, it's because they can't afford rent, or they certainly can't afford a down payment on a house. A marriage is being delayed, and a lot of times it's being delayed because the young man and young woman don't think they can make it in today's job market. And if they get married, they're going to want to buy a house. And how are they going to be able to do that? And if they have gotten married and all their money's going for a mortgage payment or for rent, they don't want to have children because they read these articles that, oh, every child will cost, you know, $598 gazillion dollars before he, you know, turns 18. I mean, who would do any of the normal things in life with all of these things pushing against you? And here comes these socialist candidates, and man, they got it all figured out. They're not talking a lot about socialism. They're talking about affordability. You're going to be able to afford your groceries. Really? How are you going to do that? Well, I'm going to have government-run grocery stores. Excuse me? Government-run grocery stores? The guy running in New York is promising free everything, free healthcare, free housing. He wants to freeze rents. You will go to government grocery stores. Child care will be free. You know, you used to learn in about by the second grade, there's nothing that's free. Somebody's got to be paying for everything. And under socialism, everybody else that isn't getting any of these benefits are paying for the things that the socialist politician is telling you is going to be free. Now, I know I don't have to tell you, this has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Absolutely zero. It certainly has nothing to do with compassion. In fact, socialism and Marxism bring suffering everywhere it goes. Well, as I was thinking about kind of coming up with things to talk to you about, I came across today a sermon that Pastor Jack Graham gave, I think it was about 6 years ago. You can go on YouTube and find it. For those of you that don't know, Pastor Jack Graham is a senior pastor of this huge church in Texas, Prestonwood Baptist Church. It's one of the nation's largest, most dynamic congregations. Tens of thousands of people belong to this church. Dr. Graham has written 30 books. You know, sounds like Jim Dobson. One of his latest books was The Jesus Book, Reading and Understanding the Bible for Yourself. He always urges his congregation to delve deeper into the scripture and not just, you know, trust somebody else to tell you what God's word says. Dr. Graham has been an honorary chairman of the National Day of Prayer. I mean, what I'm trying to say is this guy's got all the right credentials. And so he gave this sermon 6 years ago. And at the beginning of the sermon, now he's been preaching for decades. At the beginning of the sermon, he said, I believe this is the first time that I have ever preached on the subject of socialism and Christianity. But I feel like there's a need to do so because there's a lot of things I'm seeing out there that shows there's a great deal of confusion in the church about what socialism is. So I want to play for you just a few of the excerpts of the major points that Pastor Graham made. And I want to begin with this short clip that gives you the definitive idea about whether socialism and Christianity or communism and Christianity can get along with each other.
Socialism is fundamentally at odds with the Christian worldview and seeks to suppress all peoples in support of the state. No one, and here's the big bold statement I'm going to make and then I'm going to attempt to show you why in a few minutes. But no one serious about their Christian faith can be serious about supporting socialism.
You can't say it more clearly than that. Socialism is fundamentally at odds, said the pastor, with the Christian worldview. There's a fundamental difference of opinion. And socialism, when it's fully implemented, suppresses the liberties of people, and it supports and holds up the state, government. That's not what America was built on. It's certainly not what Christianity was built on. And then, to me, the statement that just ought to grab us by the throat was when the pastor said, no one serious about their Christianity can be serious about supporting socialism. Do you have any idea about why he would say that? I mean, what would be so wrong with socialism that the pastor contends you can't be a serious Christian and support socialism? Well, yeah, you probably have guessed, but he answers his own question. Let's listen to that brief answer.
And here's why. Here's why I say and make that statement. Number one, socialism is totally secular and is predicated on atheism. That is a fact. Our faith in Jesus Christ is built on the Word of God, the revelation of God, that God exists, that we believe in the resurrection of Christ. And with that faith comes freedom to live an abundant life with liberty. But Karl Marx, the father of scientific socialism, considered religion of all kinds, and specifically Christianity, as the opiate of the masses. You're on drugs if you believe in God.
Ah, well, that's it, right? Socialism is totally secular, and it's predicated, as he says, on atheism. So that's the exact opposite of America. We're predicated on God. That's why our Declaration of Independence in the second paragraph says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal and endowed by God, by their creator, with these various unalienable rights. So what socialism and then its final blooming of communism and Marxism teaches not only is impossible for a Christian to accept, it should be impossible for any actual patriotic American to accept. It can't exist alongside of the founding ideas of America, let alone exist alongside of the founding ideas of the Christian faith. So he points out, and it's worth repeating, the founder of Marxism, that would be Karl Marx, he said that religion generally, but Christianity specifically, was the opiate of the masses. Well, you know what an opiate is. Opiate is a drug. It's a drug that can be misused and cause a great deal of damage to the individual. And isn't it interesting that Karl Marx referred to the opiate of the masses? You see, socialism and Marxism tends to think of people as just being these conglomerates of things, really, not the individual, each with the right to strive and accomplish and make his own decisions. They're masses to be controlled and taken care of by government. And then Pastor Graham delves a little further in this, because it's not just that socialism and its father, Marxism, want societies in which God has been eliminated. They also want this.
Marx, again, the philosopher of socialism, founder of Soviet state-styled governments, believed Charles Darwin's theories of evolution to explain the presence of life on Earth. Man is just an advancing animal. And of course, if we are just animals, everyone and anyone can be disposable based on the needs of the state.
Okay, well, there you go. The philosophy of socialism and Marxism is based on Darwinism, on evolution. So believing in Darwinian evolution, they do not accept the idea that we are made in the image of God. See, we've already established that they don't believe in God. So how can we be made in the image of God if there is no God? But this seals the deal here when they say, you're just an ape without all the hair. You're the offspring of some amoeba that crawled out of the primal slime a gazillion years ago, and over time you became you. Somebody that gets up every morning, you can think about the past, you can plan for the future, you've got ideas for today. Some of you can put men on distant planets, you can write books, you can create art. We're supposed to believe from these Marxist socialists that all that came by accident with the passage of billions of years of time. It makes no sense whatsoever. But even more importantly, if you are not made in the image of God, then there is no reason for government to treat you with any respect. You're this thing. I mean, does anybody worry about how animals are all herded and told to go someplace, or how animals are treated? Do we try to treat animals the way you would treat a human being? No, there's a difference, obviously. So one more clip here where I think Pastor Graham really, really brings it home. This one's a little longer, but it's sort of a summary, even though he goes on at some further detail. So I really commend going on YouTube and listening to the whole sermon.
But the philosophical views of the socialists, like Marx and his disciples, say that God is not needed for anything because God does not exist. In fact, God, the idea of God, is harmful and must be forcefully, if necessary, removed from society. I'm telling you, at the very core of this philosophy, and yes, this political economic system, is atheism. You say, well, that was then. That's old style socialism, communism. It would be a catastrophic miscalculation to think that socialist hostility towards religion and Christianity specifically has changed in any way since the days of Karl Marx. Socialist countries today are secular in nature, often repressing and oppressing people of faith, all faiths, and particularly are determined to root out Christianity. Name me one socialist-style country, communist or otherwise, that is open to faith without oppression and suppression of that faith. It is at the very root, this thing called socialism.
So again, it's sort of a repeat of the previous ideas, but it's so central to Marxism, communism, socialism. This is the thing you have to make sure your children and grandchildren understand. God is not needed in the socialist societies. He doesn't exist. The idea of God must be removed. And then Graham says, can you name a country that fell into socialism and then communism that is not hostile to faith? No, I'll guarantee you, you can't name a country like that. But you know, we don't have to go to foreign countries. This is one of the great advantages of living in a country that was built on what's called federalism. You know, we have 50 states, and the states are given a great deal of leeway about how they want to govern the citizens of their states. And within those states, cities have authority to govern the people in the city a particular way that maybe people in the country would not want to be governed. But one of the things that does is it makes America sort of a laboratory. We get to see what happens when different types of governance are tried out. And if you look around America, you'll see something very obvious and very telling. In the most left-wing part of our country, in the big urban areas like New York City and San Francisco and cities like that, or in the most left-wing states, states like California, Illinois, or New York State, you will find in those cities and states the greatest hostility to Christianity and to religion generally. So in those states, they are much less likely to look kindly on a Christian couple that wants to homeschool their children. They'll try to regulate that couple, those parents. They'll try to force those parents to get a formal teaching degree. They'll do anything they can to rein in the rights of that family to teach their own children. It's in those liberal states that there were the greatest crackdowns during COVID on religious services. A lot of those liberal states famously or infamously said, well, if you're in an abortion clinic or a bar, you're essential and you can remain open. But if you're a synagogue or a church, we demand that you close because you're a danger to the public and you're not essential. That wasn't coincidental that it was in the most liberal areas of the country that those kinds of policies were pursued. And without getting too deep into national politics, it's also true that when you have a very liberal government in power in Washington, when you've got a liberal president in the Oval Office and the Congress in the hands of progressives or socialist Democrats or leftists, that's when you tend to get laws promoting transgender ideology, abortion on demand, restrictions on religious liberty. If you look at the Supreme Court, the justices that have been appointed by liberal presidents are hostile to religious liberty. They're hostile to the sanctity of life. These things make a difference, which is why Dr. Dobson, our whole team, why Jerry Falwell, why Pastor Graham, and many, many others keep arguing as a Christian citizen, you've got to educate your children, you've got to educate your grandchildren, and you've got to be active in the public square to fight things like socialism, Marxism, communism, that even today in America is growing in strength and threatens to not only undermine our faith, but also literally, ultimately destroy our country. Well, it's kind of a heavy message, but it also should, and I hope it does, arm you with the facts you need. Our kids, our children, even our young adult children are getting terrible messages from a whole lot of places. And sadly, in many cases, they have been robbed of the history, not only of America, but of the world. They don't know that communism in Russia and in communist China, and that Nazism, which is a German acronym for National Socialism, those three entities, Nazi Germany, the Soviet Union, and Communist China, literally killed in the names of their ideologies millions and millions of people. Godless societies are responsible for the greatest genocides in history. We need to fight against them everywhere they pop up, and we certainly need to protect our children and our families, our country, and our churches from these poisonous philosophies. Well, that's it for Faith, Family, and Freedom, our podcast. Please come back and check us out, and we'll be dealing with a lot of the other hot topics of the day. God bless.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.